Welcome to Accounting 101, Episode 3, General Ledgers and Trial Balances. General ledgers and trial balances are not the most interesting topic, but they are very important to understand early on in accounting so that you can see the big picture. Some of this stuff is going to be a little confusing at first. I recommend rewinding anytime I lose you and re-listening to this episode as many times as it takes for it to sink in, because this is important to understand. The general ledger is the accounting record that a company has that records every journal entry that is made by a company. In my line of work, which is forensic accounting, the general ledger is one of the most important documents, maybe only less important than bank statements, because you can see every transaction that was recorded. A quick side note is that some transactions on a general ledger may be batch posted, which means that there are a bunch of smaller entries from some underlying schedule, such as a sales journal, that are then posted onto the general ledger in larger entries every so often. But this is typically more common for larger companies or when a company tracks its sales on a separate system that is specialized for its industry, rather than directly on the general ledger. But for most companies, you're going to have all of the activity directly on the general ledger. General ledgers are useful because they provide detail on every single journal entry that is made, and with a little work, you can tie in the balances from the general ledger to a tax return or financial statement once you figure out how the general ledger accounts are grouped together. When I say grouped together, I mean that on your company's general ledger, you may have five cash accounts, but on the tax return or financial statement, you are going to just show one figure for cash, which is going to be the sum of those five cash accounts. The general ledger is arranged by account in the order of ALRI, that's assets, then liabilities, equity, revenue, and expenses. And you will see that the cash accounts are typically always going to be the first accounts on the general ledger, and they're going to take up about the first half of a general ledger. The way the general ledger works is that because every journal entry has an equal number of debits and credits, the total debits and credits of the general ledger are always going to agree as well. But the debits and credits inside each account will usually not agree. If we were to record the receipt of cash when we made a sale, we would debit cash and we would credit revenue. So if you look at each one of those accounts on the general ledger, you will see a debit for cash on that date, and you will see a credit for revenue on that date. Some general ledgers will have a reference number so that you will know both entries are part of the same journal entry, but this is usually not the case for normal entries. This is usually only the case for adjusting journal entries and general journal entries, which we will have to discuss in another episode because I don't want to confuse you by bringing in more advanced concepts that are not necessary for you to understand the basics of the general ledger. A general ledger always covers a period of time. It's not a snapshot like a balance sheet is. The period covered in a general ledger is most commonly 1 year, but it could be for any financial reporting period, which depending on the company could be 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, etc. The three types of accounts on the balance sheet, assets, liabilities, and equity, will usually have an opening balance. This makes sense because you want to be able to compare the financial position of your company in this period to the financial position of your company in a prior period. The balances don't reset to zero every year. This also makes sense because these are accounts you would expect to have continuing balances because you were keeping track of what your company owns and what it owes to other people. So if your company's bank account had $10,000 in it at the end of last year, that's going to be your beginning balance for this year. The two types of accounts on the income statement, which are revenue and expenses, are closed out at the end of each year into equity. This means that you will start with a zero balance each year on your company's income accounts and expense accounts. Again, this makes sense because you want to be able to know what your company's sales are this period to be able to compare them with a prior period. And you also want to be able to track each one of your company's expenses annually as well. That way you can track your profit or loss for each period. We will discuss how you close out revenue expense accounts with journal entries at the end of each year in another episode. But for now, just understand that journal entries are made to close out the ending balance of each income and expense account to equity, and these are called closing entries. So in each account of a general ledger, there is going to be a beginning balance and a certain number of debits and a certain number of credits. Your beginning balance plus the net result of those debits and credits will result in your ending balance. So for example, if in our cash account we had a balance of $10,000 on December 31st last year, we will have a beginning balance of $10,000 this year. And because this is a positive balance, and we know cash is an asset with a normal debit balance, that means the $10,000 is a debit balance. And if during the year our company had debits of $100,000 to cash and credits of $70,000 to cash, we would have an ending cash balance of $40,000 because we had $30,000 more debits than credits, and this is added to our beginning balance of $10,000. If for some reason we had overdrawn our account and we had a negative cash balance in our company's bank account of $10,000 at the end of last year, which would be a credit balance, and we had our $100,000 of debits this year and our $70,000 of credits this year affecting cash, we would have an ending cash balance of $20,000 because we started with a negative cash balance of $10,000 and we had 30,000 more debits than credits. If an account that is an asset or expense account, which both have normal debit balances, has more debits than credits at the end of the year, the balance in the account will be positive. Likewise, if an asset or expense has more credits than debits at the end of the year, the account will have a negative balance. If an account is either a liability, equity, or revenue account, which all have normal credit balances, and there are more debits than credits at the end of the year in one of those accounts, the account will have a negative balance. But if there are more credits than debits at the end of the year in one of those liability, equity, or revenue accounts, that account will have a positive balance. The ending balance for each account on the general ledger is what forms the trial balance. So you can think of a trial balance as a summary of the general ledger. And in fact, some accounting software will refer to a general ledger as a detailed trial balance. You can picture a basic trial balance as having five columns: the account name, the beginning balance, the debits this year, the credits this year, and the ending balance. Each account on the trial balance will have the ending balance from the general ledger in either the debit column or the credit column. You won't see the total number of debits and credits for each account on the trial balance. You're just going to see the net number. You would have to go to the general ledger to see the total debits and the total credits. Also, in reality, a trial balance will have more than five columns. You will have the account number, the account name, the balance from last year, the debits this year, the credits this year, the unadjusted balance this year, a debit column for adjusting journal entries, a credit column for adjusting journal entries, and a final balance. But let's keep it simple right now because I want you to understand the basics. The trial balance always has to have an equal number of debits and credits because it's just a summary of the general ledger, which is made up of journal entries that always have an equal number of debits and credits. Because the trial balance has all of our accounts on it, it has both our balance sheet and our income statement figures within it. The balance sheet is made up from the first three accounts in ALRI, that's assets, liabilities, and equity, and the trial balance presents the accounts in the order of ALRI. What this means is that if you were to add up all of the debits and credits for the revenue and expense accounts, the two types of accounts that are on the income statement, the difference between the debits and the credits will be either your profit or your loss. An excess of credits over debits represents a profit, which makes sense because revenue has a normal credit balance. And if you have more revenue than expenses, you've made a profit. Likewise, more debits than credits means the company had a loss. And remember, we are only talking about the revenue and expense accounts. So, as I've already explained, the trial balance has the balance sheet and income statement on it. The other two main financial statements that you need to be aware of are the statement of owner's equity and the statement of cash flows. We are going to discuss the financial statements in a separate episode. I know this episode has been a little confusing, but what I'd really like you to take away is that all those journal entries that you're doing are going to be found on the general ledger, and the ending balances from the general ledger are what form the trial balance. And then the accounts on the trial balance are grouped together, and that's what's going to form your tax return or your financial statements. I hope you understand. If you don't, please re-listen to this. I'd also like to apologize for the delay between episodes. I am committed to continue making episodes that explain things in a way that really helps you understand the debits and credits of accounting, but I am just getting over being sick for a few weeks, and I have a very demanding work schedule, so I may not always be able to get episodes out as frequently as I would like to, but I am trying. I tried to record this episode when I was sick, but it sounded terrible, so I just had to start over. Please help me help the podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and review, and tell your classmates about it so that we can help spread the knowledge to other students. My only goal here is to explain accounting to you the way I wish someone explained it to me in the beginning, because it's very confusing, and the debits and credits are the most important thing. I'm also working on improving the quality of the podcast, so just bear with me as I learn what I'm doing. I currently have a list of about 20 topics that I would like to do episodes on, and if there are any topics that you are interested in me explaining, please send me an email at jimmy.stewartcpa@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me again, and I'll speak to you next time.